Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Hey, everybody. It's the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin, and on today's show, David Wagner explains how LA renters are having a really tough time finding apartments as landlords crank up tenant requirements. Then Ethan Ward tells us about the challenges unhoused domestic violence survivors face when using LA's 211 hotline to get help. But first, a couple highlights around town to ease you in. There's a garden above the Frank Gehry-designed Walt Disney Concert Hall, hiding a green space among all the concrete of downtown L.A. That's a symphony of birds and street construction you're hearing recorded in the Blue Ribbon Garden. There are a few ways to get to it, the easiest one near the box office on Grand. Gypsy Melendez works at the concert hall. I found him in the garden drawing in a sketchbook.
Usually up here, it's probably one of the places that's not so closed in. So if I come here on my break, just want to kind of relax a little. You got a little bit of trees, fresh air, some sun along the way, yeah.
He says what he enjoys most about the garden is, well, the greenery.
Because some of these plants are edible too.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. If you read about it, they kind of give you a little explanation on it.
And I did spot a licorice plant a few moments later. Music Center COO Howard Sherman says the garden is planted to ensure that there's always something in bloom year-round. And he adds,
the trees, which are full-grown trees, are sitting in tree beds that are upward of 10 feet deep over what are the rehearsal rooms and practice rooms backstage in the concert hall. So we are on a waterproofed roof that was structurally sound and deep enough to hold a hidden garden as you meander through the building.
The Blue Ribbon Garden is open to the public daily from 5 in the morning to 10 at night. If you've looked for a place yourself recently, you know LA renters are having a tougher time finding apartments. Landlords are getting stricter about checking credit scores, proof of income, and evidence that applicants have paid rent, despite the city's non-payment protection for those who took a financial hit due to the pandemic. Now, some local lawmakers want to prohibit these screening processes. With more, here's economics reporter David Wagner.
The listing for a two-bedroom apartment in Glendale starts with the perks: stainless steel appliances, gated parking, walking distance to the Americana shopping mall. Then, in all caps, it lists the tenant requirements: monthly income of at least three times the nearly $2,200 rent, proof of rent payment during the pandemic, and a credit score of at least 750.
My requirements have gone up because I've been put in that position by the government.
Sandra Chandler, the landlord who posted the listing, says in the past she was more flexible, but now she disqualifies anyone who can't meet her criteria.
I couldn't take them because I couldn't take a chance.
She hasn't had a non-paying tenant yet, but Chandler says after 2 years of state and local eviction protections, she's wary.
The government doesn't care if I could pay my mortgage. They don't care if I can eat. They don't care if I could pay for my bills. The government doesn't care. I have to protect myself.
The state has delivered more than $1.5 billion to LA landlords with non-paying tenants, but many are still waiting for rent relief. Chandler isn't alone in stepping up her screening. It's now common for LA landlords to ask for excellent credit, months of pay stubs, and proof of rent payment at previous addresses. Latasha Williams says identity theft ruined her credit, so she never got far with landlords.
They don't even care how much your income is. Whatever they want your credit to be, that's what it is in order for you to move into a place.
On her days off, Williams drove to open houses, crowded with tenants competing for the same spot. She spent money on gas and even more on application fees.
Probably about $300 a month.
Landlords did not give Williams a chance to explain her credit. She only found a place after she unexpectedly won a lottery for a housing voucher in Orange County. Williams and her 10-year-old son recently moved into an apartment in Santa Ana.
I don't really know nobody out here, and everything is just fresh and new, and it's the best move I ever made.
Housing advocates say current screening practices can discriminate against Black and brown tenants. Research shows that median credit scores in LA's communities of color are 50 points lower than scores in majority white areas. Credit scores can also give a false impression of someone's ability to pay. Sarah Rogozin, a staff attorney with Public Counsel, says tenants don't get good marks for paying rent on time.
The prospective landlord is going to look at that credit report, and they're not going to see the rents. They're going to see the fact that they had trouble paying a credit card bill for food.
These mounting barriers have even prompted some LA lawmakers to propose new limits on tenant screening. Three city council members have introduced a motion seeking to ban screening of credit scores, eviction records, and ability to pay rent during the pandemic. They say these measures are crucial for making progress on homelessness. The city has received more than 3,000 federally funded emergency housing vouchers during the pandemic, but only 90 are currently being used to lease an apartment. Councilwoman Nithya Raman says screening is often what stands in the way.
Finding landlords who are willing to take those vouchers, even when the voucher amount matches the rent that they're asking for, it has been challenging.
If the proposal is passed, some landlords wonder what criteria they could use to select tenants. But until screening practices change, tenants like Eric Strait will continue to face an uphill battle.
Unless your credit's stellar, everything's stellar, you're not even going to get a call. You're not going to get a look.
Strait has black marks on his credit from collections related to a surgery he underwent years ago. In the past, landlords could overlook his credit when they saw his income. But now, after months of searching, Strait has made no progress.
By the end of the month, I've spent $1,000 and I have nothing to show for it. It's depressing. It's discouraging. Now I'm kind of like, you know, maybe it's just time to pack up and leave.
Strait says soon he might have to expand his search to Las Vegas. I'm David Wagner.
And finally, in Los Angeles, unhoused people, many of whom are domestic violence survivors, often turn to the 211 LA hotline for help. But sometimes their requests just stay on hold. Here's our Unhoused Communities reporter, Ethan Ward.
Hi.
Hi.
Jamie Taylor was on her eighth day living inside a tent in the Beverly Grove neighborhood of LA when we first met. Her dog greeted me. Jamie Taylor isn't her real name. It's an alias because she's fleeing domestic violence. She's also struggling with addictions. In LA, almost 40% of unhoused women say they've experienced abuse in the last 12 months, according to the Downtown Women's Center. But Jamie says she's now experiencing a different kind of harassment. She says one neighbor told her,
"Oh, I bet you think this is a nice place. Get the F out of here." Seems to be the really go-to for people in this neighborhood. And he goes, "This was a nice meeting. The next time won't be so nice." I cried.
Jamie's never found herself unhoused before, and she didn't know what to do. That's when she called 211. It's an L.A. County number Angelenos can call when they need to get connected to resources that deal with a variety of issues, including health care, immigration, or crisis services. 211 L.A. is also one way into Los Angeles's coordinated entry system. This is a process where people experiencing homelessness can get connected with case managers who help find housing or other services. In Jamie's case, she says the center gave her about 40 different numbers that she tries every day to locate a bed to sleep. But
your chances are as good as if you were calling a radio station to win Beatles tickets.
Alana Hitchcock is the spokesperson for 211 LA. She says they are currently short-staffed. 48 community resource advisors work full-time. They answer nearly 400,000 calls, chats, and texts per year. Callers can sometimes experience hold times of 40 minutes. She says the problem goes beyond. They're underfunded by its current contract with the county.
All community resource advisors are currently assisting other callers. Please stay on the line and someone will be with you momentarily.
After calling 211 so many times with no results, Jamie's feeling disheartened.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
211 LA can only officially help unhoused families, not youth or single adults like Jamie. Operators are trained to give out numbers of nonprofits that can help, but sometimes those nonprofits don't pick up or beds are not available. At the Downtown Women's Center in Skid Row, Emily Goodburn coordinates the domestic violence program. She says these situations are common.
There is a huge shortage of DV shelter beds in Los Angeles. And so
Goodburn says there's recently been more coordination to improve the system, but knows how tiring it can be for survivors to keep calling.
We're trying to figure out ways that we can skip that step so that we can kind of help facilitate finding a match for somebody before they even have to go through that.
Goodburn says organizations that work with domestic violence survivors are trying to get more resources. She also says there isn't one place to go where providers can see a complete list of beds available on any given night, making it harder to place people. Holly Mitchell is an LA County supervisor. She says with the current infrastructure in place, a woman experiencing domestic violence shouldn't be unhoused for a month, but it's not 211's job to find people housing.
Part of the other structural work is making sure that there are beds to refer people to.
Hitchcock from 211 LA says the county has chronically underfunded the service and crippled their ability to respond. The current contract with the county will end in December. On a heavy rainy day, nearly 4 weeks after our first conversation, Jamie calls me. She tells me she's sitting on an air mattress inside her tent.
Me and my dog are basically floating. All of my things are destroyed. And there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go.
The last time I was able to contact her, Jamie said a kind neighbor was able to get her a room for her and her dog at a treatment center. But many like her are still spending days, even months, trying to get a bed. Covering unhoused communities, I'm Ethan Ward.
Hey, thanks for listening to this weekend edition of the LA Report. We'll be back tomorrow with the Sunday edition. Till then, have a good Saturday. I'm Julia Paskin.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.